ransom, because I am one of the ransomed. And I trust that you are as well. You have your Bible open to Luke chapter number 12. And I want to speak to you about a sobering thought. In Luke chapter number 12, we have a series of teachings of our Lord Jesus about things that hinder us in life, things that prevent us from looking to the life that is to come. And he begins to enumerate them, and then he begins to elaborate on the carelessness that these things can cause in our lives, to where we would not be looking for Jesus to come again. When I ask you a question, are you looking for Jesus to come? Not do you believe he's coming. Now, there's a big difference, and we're going to talk about that some, and I'm not trying to convince you that you're not looking for his coming. I trust that you are. I think there's evidences of people that are looking for Jesus to come, and I think there's clear evidence for people that are not. When we look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, it teaches us to deny some things. Paul wrote in Titus chapter 2, ungodliness and worldly lust. And it teaches us to live a certain way, soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. It teaches us that this life is not all that there is. Our Lord Jesus in this particular, well, let me say this. I want to preface something here. I want you to understand something. And I think you do understand this, but I want to remind us all of this. I've been reminded as I've been looking into the scripture about the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, the devil hates the Bible. Now, we know this. But this particular doctrine, the devil has a special hatred for, because he knows that it's this doctrine that's going to bring an end to his time. When Jesus comes back, the devil's time is going to come to a conclusion, because he's going to be put in prison. You can read this in Revelation 20 for 1,000 years. While the millennial reign of Christ takes place, now he'll have his run on this earth for about 7 years, six, seven. It'll come to a close. He'll be put in hell, in prison, the bottomless pit. Then he'll be loose for a little season, but then he will finally meet his end as he is cast alive into the lake of fire, where Revelation 20 verse 10 says, "For the beast and the false prophet are." And so the devil really hates this doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he's caused a lot of confusion about it. He's caused some to say, well, Jesus has already came. He came in spirit. And then there are others that will say, well, you know, when Jesus comes, it's going to be before the tribulation, he's going to come. And then there are others that say, well, he's going to come during the tribulation. He's only going to get those that are living right. And then they'll say, no, he's coming after the tribulation. That's a post-trib rapture of the church. And then they'll say, well, you know, he's coming before the millennial reign. Well, no, he's coming after the millennial reign. Well, no, there's not going to be a millennial reign. And it just goes on and on with these thoughts and these teachings that are out there. And I want you just for a moment in your mind to try to set the confusion aside. I don't claim to know all there is to know about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I just want to kind of focus on some things I do know. And I want you to do the same. See, I do know he's coming. Amen. Jesus is coming again. And I do know that it's imminent, which means that he could come in the first watch, and we'll see this in a moment, the second watch, the third watch. The word imminent doesn't mean immediate. When I say imminent, I don't mean like Jesus is going to come right now. Now, I can't say that he's not going to come in the next minute. I can't say that. See, there's a song that Jesus is coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Jesus is coming again. Amen. And when I say imminent, I don't mean immediate. I mean that at any time Jesus could come. And so I'm not looking for things to be fulfilled. And there are those who say, well, no, Jesus can't come until, and then they give you reasons why Jesus can't come. Well, we're going to find out in the scripture today where Jesus, I mean, he condemns that mindset. And says, don't you fall into that mindset. Don't you get that mindset where, well, you know, this has got to happen, or that has to happen, or this prophecy has to be fulfilled, or this scripture has to be fulfilled. Jesus said, don't you live like that. You live knowing that at any moment I could come. And that's what Jesus said I'm to live like. And that's what Jesus said you're to live like. And he said when we cease to live that way, it causes us to forget our responsibilities as a believer. We shirk our responsibilities, our duties. We live for ourselves and not for others. When I quit looking for Jesus, I quit loving people. I quit desiring to do God's will and I began to do my will. We're going to see that in the parable that he gave here that Pastor BJ read in your hearing. The reason that we see a whole lot of those who I believe truly are Christians living for themselves, living outside of the clear commandments of the Word of God, is because they have quit looking and watching for Jesus to come again. I want to keep my eyes on the eastern skies. I want to look up, knowing that my redemption draweth nigh. I want to keep my heart in tune that Jesus could come today. And so when I read these scriptures, I want you to understand that that's what Jesus is teaching here. Now, I'm not going to get into the rapture, the secrecy of the rapture. I'm not going to get into the revelation and the revealing of Christ and every eye shall see him and how that Israel is going to be judged. And that's the time of Jacob's trouble and the Gentiles will be proved and there'll be great wrath. I'm not going to get into that. I just want to get into some simple principles that we are responsible to live our lives as believers as though Jesus could come at any moment. And there's just some things that should characterize our lives if we are living in that light. And I want to look at those truths from the Word of God, just as simple as Jesus laid them out. If you'll look in chapter 12, you'll realize in the first 12 verses that Jesus said, beware of hypocrisy. Look, if you would, in verse number 2 of chapter 12, Jesus said in the last part of that verse, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He said, beware of hypocrisy. Now, he's leading up to talking about him coming back. And he said, don't you live two lives. Don't you live in the manner of, you say I believe he's coming, but your life says he's not. Don't you live in the light to where you would say, well, now I believe this, but I live differently. And so he says, beware of hypocrisy. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to anyone that is seated under the seat of my the sound of my voice this morning. We can get into a place of where we actually think what we believe, what we say we believe, is okay instead of how we behave in that belief. And so he said, you beware of that. Don't you get to the place where you say, well, I believe right. Believing right is just half of this thing, brethren. We must behave right. And he said, you let your behavior be dictated by your beliefs and let your beliefs dictate how you behave. Don't you become a hypocrite. Don't you say one thing and live another way. Don't you say I'm committed and be uncommitted. Don't you say I'm faithful and be unfaithful. Don't you say I'm looking for Jesus to come and you're not looking for him to come. He said, because it shows. It shows. And in verses 1 through 12, he says that. Then in verses number 13, down through verse number 21, he changes gears a little bit and he says, beware of covetousness because it'll get you. Covetousness will get us all, brethren. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15, what he said. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. So first of all, he said what? Beware of hypocrisy. Don't you live a double life. You let your profession and your possession and your practice line up. And then he said, beware of covetousness. Don't you let the greed for gain get you. Don't you let what other people have cause you to lose your focus. Don't you let your drive to have more and more and more material things to cause you to get wrapped up in the temporal. You live with eternity in view. And God helped me to do the same. And so he nowhere said it's wrong to have things. He just said beware. Look at it again in verse number 15. He said take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And I got to tell you, this will get us all. It can become a vice to all of us, especially here in this country that has been blessed so abundantly. And then the third section, he says in verse number 22 down through verse number 34, he said, beware of worrying. Notice, if you would, in verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. For life is more than meat, and the body is more than the raiment. And so he said, don't you worry. Don't you get caught up. Take no thought. That's what he's saying when he said, take no thought. Don't you spend your time worrying about how you're going to make it and how you're going to have these things. Listen, we are to trust God for these things. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean a man shouldn't work. If you read over in 1 Thessalonians, and that's what prompted us to kind of spring into this thought. You read over there, and the Apostle Paul said, he said, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Amen. Amen. And he says, so don't you quit your job now and go camp out on some mountainside in some white robe and say, well, we're just waiting on Jesus to come. Well, you're not doing it biblically. I can't say you're not waiting on him. You're waiting the wrong way, but you're not doing it biblically, you see. And so he said, take heed. Don't you become worrisome. Don't let all of your thoughts and all of your mindset be on what you don't have or how are you going to get what you need. You trust God for these things. God is our provider. Amen. And then he gets into what we're going to look at a little closer in verse number 35. Pastor BJ read it in your hearing. He said, beware of carelessness. Don't slip into this thing to where you just take Christianity and your walk with God and your position in Christ lightly, to where it's just almost like a box you check, or it's just a card you punch, and you just kind of do your nominal duty, which is show up at church every now and then and maybe own a Bible and keep it on your coffee table, your end table close by, so you can refer to it when someone says something to you. You want to prove them wrong, you can kind of look up some scripture and try to prove them wrong. And that's where some people live their Christian life. Now, I'm not saying you do that, but Jesus said, don't you become that way. And so he said, first of all, he said, I want you to be prepared. And I want you to see what he says here, okay? Look, if you would, in verse 35. It's just as laid out as it can be. There'll never be an easier sermon that I ever preach than what I'm going to preach to you this morning. Because I'm just going to, listen, it's just laid right out. Now, all of Jesus' teachings are, it just takes me a while to catch on. Amen. And so it's just laid out. I mean, it is. Notice what he said here. There's a couple of words in verse 35 that immediately should have jumped out when Pastor BJ read them to you. It's the word loins and lights. This is what Jesus is saying. He said, in light of all that I've said and all that I'm getting ready to say, he said, there's some things that you need to do to be prepared for my coming. And he said, first of all, let your loins be girded about. Now, Peter in another place said that we ought to let the loins of our minds be girded. Now, what does this mean? What is he saying? He's saying, listen, He said, when it comes to this thing of Jesus coming back, he said, when I'm speaking about your loins, I'm talking about get to work. You see, the men in those days wore, unlike what we wear today as men, they wore these long flowing robes. But when they were getting ready to get down to business, or when they were getting ready for business to pick up, whether it meant they're going to be walking, running fast at a pace, they're going to be being active, they would take the ends of those robes and they would gird them up around their waist so that it would not inhibit or impede their work. And so he said, get to work. In light that Jesus is coming again, he said in verse number 35, in light of the fact that I'm coming again, you be working. You be working. Don't let up. If anything, pick it up. Amen. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Pick up your work. Increase your service. Remain faithful. Is that what he's saying? Amen. Gird up your loins. Gird up your loins. Get to work. Get to work. Or stay at work. Stay busy. Unlike what many have tried to tell us, whether it be those in the scripture or those out after the in the early church and after the early church and even up to this present day. Well, you know, now that Jesus is coming, we all just need to sail out and camp out somewhere and just wait on Jesus to come. The Bible nowhere teaches that. The Bible nowhere teaches that. It teaches the exact opposite. Understand that the days are coming to a close and the opportunities are winding down. And so he said, your loins, he said what? Be working. Now notice the second part of that. Your lights. Continue witnessing. Boy, as the days get darker, the lights need to shine brighter. Say amen with me. Amen. Brethren, as Jesus is coming back, and the sooner that it gets, and it could be today, look how dark it is. Look how bright our lights should shine. And he's saying, trim your lamps. Keep your lights burning. Let them burn brightly. Don't let your light go out. Don't let it get dim in this day in which we live. People need to see your light. People need to see my light. And so we need to be working our loins. We need to be witnessing our lights. He says, stay at it. Don't lighten up. Pick it up. Is that what he's saying? Be prepared. I'm coming back. I've heard those through the years say, well, you know, preacher, if I believe like you, I can't pray even so come, Lord Jesus. And I don't want Jesus to come back, because if he comes back, surely there'll be somebody in my family, there'll be a friend that'll be lost, and they won't go up, and they won't make it, and they'll die in that condition, and they'll go to hell. And I don't want to see that happen. And my heart aches, and I have an understanding for people who think that way, but I want you to know the longer we wait, the more people that are lost, and the numbers are not changing, brethren. The numbers are not changing in our favor. There's more lost people now than they've ever been. You understand that. And so we need to get busy. And so the fact that I'm praying for Jesus to come, and I hope that you are praying for Jesus to come, and we're saying, even so come, Lord Jesus, ought to increase our work, not cause us to step back, but to step forward. It ought to increase our witness, not to quit or to let up, but to keep on witnessing and keep on getting the word out. Because the final net is getting ready to be drawn in this dispensation of grace. Look, if you would, in verse number 36. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. He said, you be like these men. He said, let your loins, your work, let your lights, your witness. Notice what he said here. You be like unto men that wait. Remember in studying, and this is how I got to this passage of Scripture, in running references on the word and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 10, where it says, and to wait for our Lord from heaven. To wait up. To wait up is what it means. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 10, and it brought me to this passage, and I began to look and to read and to look into a little deeper, and it says here, you wait up for your Lord. Which means what? Just like one speaks of loins and one of lights, this is a longing. You long for the Lord. You love for the Lord. You wait up. When you're waiting up for someone, you're longing for them to get there. You're expecting them to come. You're loving the moment when they're going to walk in and you're going to be able to see them and embrace them. And he said, this ought to be your attitude as a believer to my coming. Amen. Am I living this way? Are we living this way? Say, preacher, I want to. I do too. And I wish I could tell you that I spend every waking day with this attitude, but brethren, I struggle sometimes. And I want God to help me to understand that Jesus could come today. Not just in my mind, but in my heart, in my actions. Notice, if you would, when he said in verse number 36, he said that wait up for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Not to be sluggish is what this is saying. Not to be slumbering or sleeping, but to be aware and alert. And he kind of goes into that some of this next in verse number 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find, look at that next word, watching. So we have these people that are working, and they're witnessing, and they're waiting up, and they're watching. You see, there's an alertness here. There's a business about the Father's business. There's a going and tending to the business at hand. You see what Jesus is saying here? I hope that you do. Brethren, this ought to characterize your life. This ought to characterize my life. This ought to characterize this church. Be busy about what God has called us to do. Be watchful. Be alert. Talk about Jesus coming back. You know, if we're not careful, the only time we'll talk about Jesus coming is around Christmas, and we'll talk about him coming the first time. I don't want to fall into that category. I don't. I want to be focused on the fact that Jesus could come back today, because he could. And so what does he do here? He says, look, you be prepared, but now you get to choose. So I can't choose for you. As much as I love my wife, I can't choose for her. Now, I can influence her in her choice, and I want to influence you in your choice. But ultimately, we all have to make our own choice here. And I want you to listen to what Jesus does here. He kind of transitions from you being prepared to the position that you can choose. There's two positions you can take as Jesus gave this lesson and this parable. Notice what he said here. In verse number 37, I'm going to read 37 through 40 just for the sake of you having this knowledge of what he said. Blessed are those servants, in verse 37, whom the Lord, when he cometh, not if he cometh, Jesus is coming again, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, you know, I thought about that as I was reading that, verily I say unto you, if you look down again, Jesus said it again in verse number, let me see if I can find it here, at verse number 44, he says, of a truth I say unto you. Sometimes I say, well, if I'm being honest, and people say, well, yeah, you ought to be honest all the time. Well, Jesus tells the truth all the time too, but he said, of a truth. And he said, verily, which means truly, truly. Is everything he said true? Yeah, but he said, now listen, this is a special, listen, you need to listen up. Amen. Yeah, so that's what he's saying. Let me get your undivided attention here, because that's what Jesus is saying. It's not that anything he said prior to that was any less truthful. It's just, hey, this is something that you really need to pay attention to right here. Okay? And so he says that. He said, verily, I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Now please take note of this. And this note, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not suffered his house to be broken through. Now, what's he saying here? He said, listen, if you're watching, you have something to gain. But now, if you're not, you have something to lose. Did you get that? Now, there's going to be some under the sound of my voice today that, and I don't mean this to sound mean, that your heart's not where it needs to be. You've gotten carnal. Maybe some listening by live stream. And you're not going to like it when I tell you that you're going to lose some things. And it's probably more than you realize. And I stand to lose them. We all stand to gain and we all stand to lose, but we get to choose. Please don't think. Well, when I get to heaven, it's all going to be shouting and clicking my heels. You'll never read that anywhere in the Bible. You can say amen. Brethren, there's going to be judgment. There's going to be loss. There's going to be sorrow. Are you listening? There's going to be rewards that are lost. There's going to be rewards that are burnt up as wood and hay and stubble. I pray to God that you understand this. There's going to be some in the millennial kingdom that's not going to rule while others rule. So don't think, well, I'm saved and all is grand. Well, thank God if you're saved, you're in a good place. But what you do with your salvation has a lot to do with your eternity. Amen. And we have sit under preaching that has told us it doesn't matter how you live. You're going to heaven. Thank God for that. Now all is glorious. I'm here to tell you, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, notice it again. He said in verse number 39, if the good man had known of the house had known what hour the thief cometh, he's referring to his sudden and soon return. He would not have, what's that next word? Suffered. His house. You gain or you can lose. And if you're not living in a way where you are prepared and looking, you stand to lose some things. And so he said here in verse number 40, because of that, be ye therefore ready also. Not get ready, be ready. Don't wait until you think, oh my goodness, something's come up. I need to get ready. Stay ready. That's what he's saying. And then Peter got concerned right here. He said, wait a minute, whoa. You saying that as a believer that I'm going to lose something? Well, I just thought as a believer that I'm going to heaven and everything is going to be grand and glorious and won't it be wonderful there? And we'll lay down all of our burdens and our cares and all will be glorious. And Peter got concerned and he said in verse number 41, look at it. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? Who are you talking to? You mean that we stand to lose something? Maybe Peter was of the persuasion that many are today that, well, you know, once we leave this life, everything's just going to be all gain and all glory. And Jesus said, well, let me tell you something. I'll help you with that answer. I'll answer your question with a parable. And so he said here in verse number 42, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Now there's this choice, this position that is to be chosen. He said, either you're going to be that faithful servant who's going to do right, who's going to look for me to come, or either you're not. You're not going to do right and look for me to come. And he said, but you get to make the choice. Now, it's the same servant. I want you to notice this. I want you to notice what happens to people that are looking for Jesus to come. And if you're here, you know, because you're going to identify with this. If you're really looking for Jesus to come, these are some things that stay on your mind and my mind. Look at it here in verse number 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward? Who's faithful? Who's wise? Who's practicing wisdom and doing the wise and the right thing and doing it faithfully, Jesus said? He said, whom his Lord, and that's very important that you understand what he said there, his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them portion of meat in due season. Then he said in verse number 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Blessed is that servant whose loins are girt, whose lights are shining, who's waiting up, who's watching out, who's waiting for Jesus to come, who's serving faithfully. He said, blessed is that servant. Look at verse 44. Of a truth, I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all that he had. You say, well, I'm going to be a ruler. Well, you might. I might say, well, I'm going to be a ruler. Well, I might. Jesus said, not everyone's going to have this privilege in the kingdom. That's what he said. He said, it's only going to be that blessed. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? Not only in this life, but in the kingdom? He said, then you're going to have to do some things. Listen to me now. You say, now, wait a minute. There's no way that after this life that I could not be happy. Well, just hold your pl- place right here. Turn back with me, if you would, in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. John says that Jesus is coming, and when he comes, there's two positions you could take. But now you get to choose. Okay, you get to choose. And so I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. I spoke with my wife. She can't answer for me. I can't answer for her. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of ourself. 1 John chapter 2, are you there? Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse number 28. Now, here's the two positions. And now, little children, abide in him. What's that mean? Be faithful. Be serving. Be working. Be witnessing. Be waiting. Be watching, right? Abide in him. Why? That when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Yes, Lord, I'm glad you're here. Yes, Lord, I've been doing what you left me to do. Remember when your parents, now you may not, I certainly do. There were times when my mom would leave off to go to work, and she would give us all chores to do in the summer when school was out. Well, she'd give us chores to do when school was in. But she would leave out to go to work. And she said, I want this done when I get back. Well, we were kids, and like most kids, we thought, well, you know what, she don't get home to 5. There's really no need in starting this till about 9:45. How many of you done something like that in your childhood? The rest of you are liars and hypocrites. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus is warning against that. He said, have confidence. You know, when mom came back and the chores were done, I couldn't wait for her to get back so I could show her. Look at here. Did you notice? Did you notice what was done over there? I did that. Now, when mom came home a little early or unexpectedly, and the chores were not done, in particular mine, I don't know. I got this sick feeling. I think I'm coming down with something. How many fake sickness because you didn't do your chores? It's good to be around kindred folks. You know what I'm talking about. Have confidence. But notice what he said at this, and not be ashamed before him. Please don't think when Jesus comes back at his coming that everybody's just going to run and jump in his arms and say, glory, hallelujah, I'm so glad you came. John said there's going to be those that will be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed before the Lord at his coming. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not what were you thinking? Why did you bury my talent? Right? And so as we go back to Luke, and I bring this to a close, I want you to see some differences between those who are looking for Jesus to come and those who are not. And you find yourself, I can only find myself in here. You have to find yourself in this. That servant, in verse number 43, blessed is, would you underline those next two words, that servant. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. He said, I laid out what you should be doing, and you will be blessed if you will be doing this. If I find you doing this, when I come back, you will be blessed. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, in verse number 44, that he will make him a ruler. Now, we know the scripture teaches this in other parables of the scripture, where there'll be those that'll be rulers over cities in the kingdom. And then he said in verse number 45, but, in other words, there is another alternative. But, are you there? Verse 45. But, and if, look at those next two words, underline them. That servant, that same servant that was back in verse 43, blessed is that servant. Now, that same servant, if he's not looking, if he's not longing, if he's not waiting, that same servant say in his heart, now watch it now. My Lord delayeth his coming. Not my Lord's not coming back. See, the unbeliever doesn't believe the Lord's coming back. The believer believes he's coming back. And so this is not saying I deny that he's coming back. I'm just saying he's delaying it. I'm going to live like he's not going to come back soon or in my lifetime or in a way that's going to catch me sleeping and slumbering. And so I'm going to live as though I don't have to give an account. And he said, if that same servant say in his heart, now he would never get up and say, folks, I have an announcement to make today, and that is that your pastor doesn't believe that Jesus is coming soon. I'm here to tell you that he has delayed his coming. Woohoo! Would go many carnal believers. Let us eat and drink and be drunken. Oh, wait a minute. That is what they did. Notice what the scripture says in verse number 45. For those that say in their heart, my Lord, not their Lord, my Lord delayeth his coming, and they shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken. They forget their responsibility. They forget the standard of living for the Christian. They forget their testimony. They forget there's people that need their service. And so instead of serving them, they mistreat them. You see, when I look for the Lord, it causes me to treat people differently. When I know that I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ one day, it should cause me to live different, to treat others different, to treat my responsibility and the duties that God left to me differently. And it will cause you to do the same. You say, well, I don't ever think about that. It's because you're not looking for him to come again. You see, when we look for that blessed hope, I said this to begin this message, we live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Not because we have that ability, but we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and we yield ourselves to the truths of God's Word, and we believe Jesus could come today, and I want to be found faithful when he returns, because I want to hear him say, well done, amen, thou good and faithful servant. And so there are those that say, Jesus could come. Let me live in the light of his soon return. Now, for whatever else this, what I'm going to close here is going to say, I have looked and looked, and I could give you five or six different positions. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. I'm just going to say, for whatever else that I'm getting to read to you says, it says that you, if you're a believer, and you are not living in the light of his soon return, you stand to lose quite a bit. I want you to write down 2 John verse 8. 2 John verse 8 says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15 speaks about gold, our works being tried, our service being tried by fire, which is God, our God is a consuming fire, and he's going to try our works, and some will come forth as gold and silver and precious stone, but others will be burnt up as wood and hay and stubble. And so there's disappointment for that person that will not take God's work serious, that just treats lightly the things of God and puts it on the back burner, so to speak. And this is what Jesus is teaching. He's saying, listen, you need to know that I could come at any moment. And you need to live in the light of that fact. And if you do, well, you'll be blessed. And I'm going to welcome you, and I'm going to promote you, and I will make you a ruler in my kingdom. But if you do not, and you say in your heart, my Lord, not the Lord, my Lord, look at it again in verse number 45, that servant, that same servant, say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, you begin to live different. You treat people a little different. You become about yourself. You see that in verse number 45? Get a little hard on people, and you treat people in a wrong manner, a little uneasy. And then it says you begin to eat and drink and be drunken. You get involved in overindulgences, in things that is not becoming to the Christian testimony. And it said in verse number 47, that servant, that servant, verse 46, let's look at that. The Lord of that servant will come in the day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware. You see that in verse number 46? Not looking, not aware. It affected his living. And so God says that he will be cut in sunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. You say, well, that's talking about being lost. Might be. Possible. Till you really begin to study the words, and then you find, well, maybe what it means is when you look into depth with it, that you're going to lose some things. It's not going to be as joyful as you thought it was going to be. You stand to lose some things when Jesus comes back instead of gain some things. We talk about, well, you know, Christians are going to get crowns when Jesus comes back. Some of them. Some of them. Well, Christians are going to hear him say, can't wait to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Depends on what kind of servant you were or are. When you look at that word cut asunder, it just simply means there's going to be some things cut away from you. And we look at that word unbeliever, it means unfaithful. It means of no belief. It means lack of faith. It means unbelief. Which is the reason that people don't look for Jesus is because of unbelief. They just don't believe what Jesus said was going to happen. So they don't believe. Doesn't necessarily mean unredeemed. I've looked at the word. I've searched it deep. And if you can and you come up with something, bring it to me. So for whatever else it means you're going to lose some things. Christian. We're going to lose some things if we don't live in the light of Jesus' soon return. But there's so much to gain if we do. Then he said this in verse number 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will. You think lost people know God's will? I don't think so. But that servant who knew? You knew. You knew what God saved you for. God didn't save you to eat and drink and be drunken. God didn't save you to be the same person you were before he saved you. Mistreat people and do things that you like you used to do it. God saved you to live different. And so that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself. How did he not prepare? Remember earlier, verse 35, 36? He didn't gird his loins. He didn't get to work. He didn't keep his lamp trimmed. He didn't let his light shine. I'm just telling you what the word says. And I realize there's some folks that carnal, you know, say, I don't believe that. That's your problem. You don't believe enough. That's why a lot of folks live as the unbeliever. They're known by more that they don't believe than they do. I just so happen to believe it because God said it. And he said that there's going to be some beatings. Shall be beaten with many stripes. Doesn't sound like what a lot of people paint it to be. Then he said in verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much of him they will ask the more. Now, as I said, I don't pretend to know all that there is to know about the second coming of Christ. I don't. I'm learning. Been learning. This has been a subject that's been dear to my heart for many years. For whatever this may not mean, I know that it means this. I know that Jesus is saying, listen, believers, keep your lamps trimmed. Keep your loins girt. Don't let the cares of this world cause you to lose your focus that I'm coming back. Stay diligent. Stay busy. Stay busy about the Father's business. Therefore, when I come, you will be blessed. You will be promoted. You will be a ruler in my kingdom. Don't let the cares of this world, don't let the things of the outside creep into your heart and mind and cause you to lose your focus and quit looking for Jesus to come and start looking for how you can enjoy your passion in instead of promote His passion. Let's all stand.